versus David Turner, appeal number 06-1440. Mr. Marsh.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Ms. Hellert. David Turner's sentence of 100 years in prison for production of child pornography is unreasonable and should be vacated by this court. I want to address, first of all, the flaw in the rationale that the district court used to arrive at this sentence, because the district court did make a deliberate effort, as the court knows from the record, to explain the sentence in this case. But the flaw in the explanation, I would suggest to the court, is that the district court judge focused on the individual counts. There were 9 counts of production of child pornography and 1 count of possession of that same child pornography plus some additional pornography. And the district court judge explained that he came up with the sentence of 100 years because he wanted to make sure that the sentence reflected at least the mandatory minimum sentence for each count, which came up to 100 years. He also wanted to reflect what I think the record shows was the outrage of the district court judge with Mr. Turner's conduct by imposing the maximum sentence on each count. So the district court judge imposed the maximum sentence on each count and then did a complicated combination of concurrent and consecutive sentences to come up with 100 years, which he explained was the mandatory minimum on each count. The flaw with that, I would suggest to the court, is that to determine whether a sentence is reasonable, the court should be looking at the total sentence the defendant receives rather than parsing it out to count by count. This was a course of conduct that went over a couple of year period, involved primarily a young girl in one count, another young girl. But it's a pattern of conduct, and Mr. Turner should have been sentenced on this pattern of conduct, not on 9 individual counts, imposing the mandatory minimum on each individual count.
Is it within the guideline range?
It is within the guideline range, because the guideline range is life, and so the district court judge could do anything he chose and still be within the guideline range. But I would suggest that the district court judge referred to as the basis for imposing the mandatory minimum on each count, which in my judgment led him astray in this case, was that under the guidelines, these offenses do not group, to use the language of the guidelines. That's a decision made by the Sentencing Commission, and in following that approach, I suggest that the court gave undue deference to the decision made by the Sentencing Commission, and that's what resulted in this case being so high.
It was not only his activity with these young girls, but it was the over 7,000 images they found, the web pages, the court took into account more than that.
There were a large number of images in addition to those that were produced, but in the final analysis, that was count 10. That was the possession count, which did not impact the sentence at all because the judge ran the sentence on count 10, possession, concurrent with the sentences imposed on the first 9 counts. And obviously there were a lot of things taken into account. There's any question about that. And I'm not minimizing Mr. Turner's behavior in this respect. There probably isn't an adjective that the court could use or that the district court used explaining how bad Mr. Turner's behavior was that I would disagree with. But in the final analysis, the sentence has to be reasonable, and a term of 100 years for this offense, considering the factors that are set forth in 3553A, this sentence is not reasonable. What
would be?
Well, Your Honor, I didn't suggest a number to the district court judge because it's not my place, and I don't know what number it would be. It's a difficult decision to make. I recognize that This court has said, and I think accurately, that reasonableness is a range, not a point. So a sentence of some range is permissible. I did take the position in the district court and do here that what would be reasonable is a sentence, a severe sentence to be sure. It's going to be a severe sentence. There isn't any question about that. That would give Mr. Turner a reasonable opportunity to serve his sentence and die someplace other than in prison. I suggest the court, considering his age, 41 years old at the time of sentencing, that a number in that range could be arrived at and would be a reasonable sentence.
So, do you have any statistical proof to support that theory that a person between 70 and 80 or 90 is not more likely to commit the crime?
No.
Let me ask you this. If the advisory guideline range permits a life sentence here, would you argue that a life sentence would be unreasonable?
Yes.
Even though a sentence on review by us that's within the guideline range would be presumptively reasonable?
Yes, that's correct. And as you know,
difficult position to adhere to, I would think.
Your Honor, as you know from my brief, it's my position that the rulings of this court, which established a presumptive reasonableness for a guideline sentence, is the wrong decision.
I understand it, yes.
But given that, part of the reason that I suggest that is wrong is the result in this case. These cases, as I suggest is true with all categories of cases, are on a broad range of less serious to more serious. This is a serious case. There isn't any question about that as production of child pornography cases go. But it's not the most serious case you're going to see. It's not the most wrongful, harmful conduct that you are going to see.
Well, in the hierarchy of child pornography cases, this is probably one of the worst ones I think I've ever seen.
Judge, I guarantee you're going to see worse ones because we have in my office right now a case that, by my standards, and I think by most people's standards, is worse. And the point is, if Mr. Turner receives a life sentence, there are a whole range or whole category of people that receive life sentences without any consideration of the relative culpability of those people. They're just all put into the same category. And it's clear. It's clear what has been happening over the past few years, primarily as a result of legislation from Congress. The sentences on these kind of cases have just been ratcheting up and ratcheting up, and they're getting higher and higher. But there has to be a limit.
All right, let me ask you, didn't he engage in sexual activity with both of these people?
He engaged in sexual activity, but not sexual intercourse.
But sexual activity with each one of these young people.
There was touching, and there was sexual activity. Yes, that's true. But there are cases in which they're younger.
Don't you think those children are scarred for life?
I do not dispute that at all, Your Honor.
Should the judge allow this man to go out to do further harm to young, innocent people?
I'm not arguing that at all, Your Honor.
Don't you think that those are the thoughts that went through his mind?
Well, I'm sure those are the thoughts that went through his mind. And my belief is that part of what affected the district court judge's decision was that Mr. Turner handled this case about as badly as possible. He decided to go to trial. I guess it could have been worse. He could have asked for a jury trial.
Yeah.
He decided to go to trial.
You're right.
So the judge heard firsthand the testimony of these young women, and it was compelling testimony. There isn't any question about that. So I'm conceding, Judge, that under the law he will receive a long sentence, and he will, by any analysis, be an old person when he gets out of prison. My only petition is that he should receive a sentence which will give him an opportunity to serve his sentence. As I tried to explain in the brief, there's a huge difference between a person who goes into prison knowing he's going to be there for the rest of his life as compared to a person who knows that there's some hope for the future. And I suggest that when the court looks at...
But what you're saying, then, if he got a 50-year sentence, which requires under federal law that he serve about 84% of that, he'd be obviously going to die in prison unless they let him out for medical reasons or something like that. So you would be making the same argument if the sentence was 50 years.
More than likely, that's true, Your Honor, because once it gets to the point where the person cannot reasonably serve the sentence, the number doesn't do anything more than provide a symbolic statement by the court as to how serious the offense is.
Thanks, Mr. Marsh.
Your Honor.
Thank you.
Mr. Hellert, Ms. Hellert.
May it please the court and Mr. Marsh. My name is Gail Hellert, and I have represented the government in this matter from the beginning of the case. In this case, Mr. Turner argues one issue, that the sentence in his case is not reasonable. He argues that this court incorrectly decided its decision in United States versus McKittyuk when it stated that a sentence within the correct sentencing guideline range is presumed to be a reasonable sentence. This court was careful to note in that decision that the Booker decision did not hold that a guideline sentence must be presumed to be reasonable, however, also noted that the guidelines remained an essential tool. The defendant can rebut the presumption of reasonableness only by demonstrating that a sentence is unreasonable when measured against the 3553A factors, and that it will be a rare guidelines sentence that is unreasonable. Mr. Turner states that the district court weighed retribution too heavily, that it was greater than necessary to reflect the seriousness of the offense, and that a 100-year sentence does not promote respect for the law. For example, Mr. Turner points to the 3553A6 factor of the need to avoid unwarranted sentencing disparities and argues that his sentence is grossly disproportionate. However, the government disagrees. In side-by-side comparisons, the government can first point to an individualized difference between Mr. Turner and the four cases that Mr. Turner compares his to in his brief. Mr. Turner's criminal history category was a 5, and his total offense level was a 53, which was 10 levels above life under any criminal history category. He was a 5 because of alcohol and driving offenses and because he was on probation at the time of the offenses. The other defendant's cases that he cited to were all a criminal history category 1, and nobody was a level 53. Even under the earlier versions of the guidelines where the comparison case defendants were sentenced, the differences would have likely been significant from criminal history category 1 versus a 5. Mr. Turner had nearly every enhancement under the sentencing guidelines. For example, the enhancement relating to him misrepresenting his age did not apply. However, distribution, sexual contact, pattern of exploitation, violent images, age less than 16, number of images, etc., all applied. He received 5 levels for being a repeat sex offender under 4B1.5. Each victim was seen to be a particularly vulnerable victim for separate reasons. Jane Doe on count 3 because Mr. Turner and his male associate John Doe rendered her incapable of even being willing to say yes to the sexual intercourse by giving her a tremendous amount of tequila with no food. Mary Doe on count 9 because Mr. Turner knew that she was essentially homeless and tempted her with $100 and a large amount of whiskey at her request so that she wouldn't feel so bad about taking the nude pictures. And again, with respect to count 3, Mr. Turner received an enhancement for being an organizer of the sexual activity. The counts 3 through 5 conduct with John Doe really illustrates how badly the boundaries in the Turner home had been violated. There were literally none. Mr. Turner started the illegal conduct with Jane Doe by allowing her to repay a concert ticket debt by taking sexually explicit pictures of her in exchange and not telling her mother. So instead of fatherly discipline, he sent the worst possible message to her, that her nude body was a valuable commodity to be traded at any time for privileges, for money, for perfume, for jewelry, for alcohol, for drugs. Mr. Turner's egregious conduct perpetrated against Jane Doe for several years was apparent to the district court, but the counts 3 through 5 conduct really showed Mr. Turner low of lows. His willingness to front out his stepdaughter to another male so that he could produce sexually explicit images of her with this other male. This is highly valuable material that would be almost impossible for him to possess unless he produced it himself. He turned her into a drug and alcohol addict, and she was completely out of control by age 16. The district court in this case did what a sentencing court is required to do. It consulted the guidelines. It evaluated the factors under 3553A. It analyzed Mr. Turner and gave him an individualized sentence. It looked at the cumulative effects of all of the relevant factors. The district court exercised its discretion and decided that Mr. Turner should be given the maximum statutory term on each count, not the minimum. It then ran some of the counts concurrent to each other and consecutive to other groups for a total of 100 years. The offenses warranted this, and the past history of Mr. Turner warranted this. And a 100-year sentence is reasonable in this case, because when the district court consulted the guidelines, it saw that the only way to achieve an advisory calculation of something less than life was to vary downward at least 11 levels. This is difficult to conceive for a person who has failed to accept responsibility. 100 years is reasonable because the statutory maximum terms could have been 210 years. It's reasonable because the district court analyzed the 3553A factors, including the guidelines, which called for a sentence of life. It analyzed the numerous aggravating factors, including the sheer volume of criminal activity, in terms of what Mr. Turner possessed and produced, the intended commercial motive for 5 of the Jane Doe images, the fact that Mr. Turner was a criminal history category 5, and the specific adoption of the 23 aggravating factors that the government argued at sentencing. It's reasonable because the court stated that it considered deterrence and it still imposed the 100 years because it thought that that reflected the seriousness of the crime. The district court specifically noted that it had considered the defense arguments under 3553A. The government in this case is asking this court to affirm the sentence. It is a high sentence, and it was meant to be. It was meant to be by the district court. It was meant to be by the guidelines. It was meant to be by Congress, who imposed higher statutory ranges under the PROTECT Act in 2003, and it was meant to be under the 3553A factors. Mr. Turner's longtime conduct was meant to be addressed. Thank you.
Any further, Mr. Marsh?
Your Honor, if I could have the indulgence of the court for just 30 seconds. I don't have rebuttal, but I'd like to make a request that whatever the outcome of this case, that the opinion minimize the specific facts of the case. For this reason, Mr. Turner is in a maximum security prison and no doubt will be for a long time. I represent and have for the last dozen years or so inmates in a maximum security prison. They now have all of the federal reporters on CD-ROM, and I've heard some pretty chilling stories of inmates looking up the offenses of fellow inmates and then trying to decide what to do with them. So that's my request.
That's an interesting request, though, because if the view is that this is an extraordinarily high sentence, it seems that the gruesome facts would have to be sort of recounted to justify the high sentence, unless we can say that you want to stipulate that they are the grossest, most obnoxious, virulent type of behavior that we've ever seen. And absent the sort of statement, I don't know how we could do that. I think that's a fine request, and your office does extraordinarily good work here. But I understand the problem when you're in a prison. There's a certain hierarchy of lowlifes in a prison, and when you're in for something like this, it's bad.
Thank you, Judge.
Thanks, Mr. Marsh. Okay. All right, we'll take this matter under advisement and proceed to the final case of the day.